Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. That's just where we're going to be as far as some verses that we'll look at. And we're looking at the life of John the Baptist, and we're in the section in which, you know, the idea of doubting. John the Baptist doubts. We've already looked at the passage of him doubting, and that was in Matthew 11, and sending those people to Jesus. And we'll talk a little bit about that again. But look, we want to talk about doubting a little bit today, and really some issues of doubting about for salvation is concerned, and those kind of things. We'll see how it fits. Let's start by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our Sunday school class. Lord, I just love being in here. Thank you that you allow me to get to teach the class. And Lord, thank you for each one who comes, and just a lot of fun as we talk through different issues and things. So Lord, we just ask you to teach us today as we think about the doubting, as we look at the life of John the Baptist, what happened there and all of those kind of things. Lord, we ask you that you would continue to teach us, help us to put things together. Lord, we know the goal of study of the Word of God is application, so we want to know it, apply it, and then help pass it on to other people. So Lord, would you help us know your Word, and then that we would apply it in our lives so that we'd be different, that we would grow and be more and more like Jesus. Teach us, Lord. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about doubting, about John the Baptist and how he doubted. Remember, he was in prison and he sent some of his men up there and he asked Jesus, are you the one or should we look for somebody else? And of course, when you think about that, that seems so weird because John pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So why would he even doubt? But I wanted to just talk for a second about doubting. People doubt a lot of things. Sometimes people doubt, you know, they'll see promises in the Bible and they just say, I don't know if that's true or whether it's going to happen. Sometimes they just doubt. But let me ask you two questions and you all help me on this. Let's think about it. Why do you think people doubt their salvation? Why would somebody doubt their salvation? Okay, so one thing, it's even if they've heard it correctly, you're saying it seems that it's too good to be true, so they could even trust Jesus, and somebody could say to them, so you're going to heaven, and they go, well, I don't know, because that really seems awfully good to be true, that he would just give me eternal life forever.
Yeah, my mother was like that. She would, every other week, she would ask me, are you sure I'm saved? I'd say, well, Mom, and we'd go through the same thing again.
And she'd say, it just seems too good to be, too easy, too good to be true. Yeah, that's great. All right. What else? Why do you think so? Why do some people doubt their salvation? Huh? Okay. So when they sin, say when they do wrong, they think I've done wrong now. And so what happens?
They either don't forgive themselves.
So they think by sin, somehow that then breaks the salvation. Like you do something wrong. Okay. Now you're not saved anymore. And then if you don't get forgiveness somehow, you don't do something right, you won't be back in. So they actually think you can do something to lose it, and then you better do something to what? Get it back. You know that anytime you have any kind of works for salvation, and that's when you start talking about lordship salvation, or people saying you got to be baptized, you got to walk down an aisle, you got to give your life, you got to turn over turn away from sin. Anytime you have anything that you do on the front end, that's works for salvation, and you will never have assurance of salvation because you don't know if you're going to somehow do something wrong or not do what you're supposed to do or not keep on doing what you're supposed to do. If I said to you, you need to turn away from your sin in order to be saved, right? What if that moment you turn away from your sins and you say, from this point on, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do those old bad sins. And you think, okay, I'm saved. But then 2 weeks later, you do some of those old bad sins. What do you think possibly? You either lost it or maybe you never really got it or you just don't know. You know, the message, I think some people doubt salvation because they never get a clear message. They never know exactly what they're supposed to do. Some people doubt salvation because they actually think it's just too good to be true. Some people doubt salvation because when they sin, they believe somehow that breaks that salvation. And have you ever heard somebody say that, yeah, you can believe in Jesus Christ, but then you can give it back. You can give salvation back to God. Have you ever heard some people say that? So salvation is a commodity. It's a product, or is it a relationship? It's an eternal relationship. You know, we talked a little bit last week, and I want us to, you should be on your chart, a sheet, you should be on the sheet where we're at doubting, and we raised some questions right before we end last time. What is doubt? What brings about doubt? We want to start there this morning, but let me just remind you of what happened to John about doubting. He was the man who was set apart to point out Jesus. He saw the Holy Spirit come down as a dove. He knew Jesus was the Messiah and the Savior. He called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. When they came to him, he said, you know, this is my role, this is Jesus' role. And then he got put into prison. And we don't know what happened because it seems strange. that, because a lot of times people in the Bible, they seem bigger than life. I mean, you know, you think of Moses, you think Moses, and you think David, and you go, David, wow, they're just the greatest. They just walked around and they were so perfect to sometimes what we think. If you really look at their lives in the scripture, they weren't. You look at John the Baptist, and Jesus said he was what? The greatest person who ever lived. Greatest human. And we'd say, well, the greatest human would never what? And we're not, well, not seeing, never doubt, right? I mean, they're not going to doubt. They're the greatest. Well, he did. And you remember in prison, he began to question, and so he sent word, are you the one that we to look for, or are you the one, or should we look for someone else? What did Jesus do? Now, we said this last time, that John did the right thing. When he began to doubt, he went to the source. When we doubt, where should we go? Where's the source for us? The scripture. Yeah, the Bible. We should go to the scripture. And we'll talk a little bit about that. But when John sent the word to Jesus, Jesus said this. He said, tell John what you see. Lame walk, blind see, deaf hear, dead are raised, good news is preached to the gospel. That was fulfilling Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. That's exactly, John knew the scripture. John knew the Messiah would do those things in Isaiah 35 and do those things in Isaiah 61. Jesus said, you just tell him what I'm doing, and that should be enough. And then he says, blessed are those who don't what? Stumble over me. Don't trip. Who don't mess up. Who don't get all messed up. Do you think that there are people who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and then don't know if they're going to heaven or not? Do you think there are saved people who don't know if they're going to heaven? Do you think there are unsaved people who think they're going to heaven? Yeah. Why would the unsaved person think they're going to heaven? They do good work. That's me. I thought as long as I did more good than bad, I'm going. Why would a believer who have trusted in Jesus think they're not going to heaven? Huh? Well, who said that? They don't what? That's a good point. Because a lot of people want to go on their what? Feelings. When it comes down to truth, is truth based on feelings or is truth based on fact and truth? That's right. And you know what? If I did everything on feelings, and you know, I'm a feeling guy. I love stuff. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm sad. But let me tell you this. I don't live my life on my feelings because I rarely feel like getting up. And I get up at 4:30 every day and I rarely feel like getting up. But I just get up. And you know what? This is going to surprise you. I don't always feel like studying. In fact, there's sometimes I don't even want to, but I do. Don't you? Do you always feel like praying? You always feel like studying. Do you always feel like memorizing scripture? You always feel like getting up. You always feel like being happy. How you doing? I'm fine. Don't bother me. You know, if we go on feelings, there's no telling what'll happen. Because a lot of times, truthfully, you may not feel saved. If you got sin in your life, do you feel like you're rolling and doing the right stuff? No. And your Heavenly Father may be disciplining you. So sometimes there are people who are unbelievers and they think they're saved. And sometimes there are believers and they don't think they are saved. What we want to make sure is that when we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, 1 John 5:13, these things are written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know you have eternal life. I would hope that every one of us in this room, if anybody said to you, are you going to heaven? Everyone in this room without a doubt would say, yes, I have trusted in Christ. I know I have eternal life. Do you feel like you're going to heaven? Not necessarily. Sometimes yeah, sometimes no. Well, John was doubting. And we saw some things. Let me just kind of go through my notes. We saw things, the questions and all of that. And, of course, Jesus answered it great. And that gets us back to some questions. And I think we want to start right here. Let's just start with again. What is doubt? What is doubt exactly? Huh? You're unsure about something. You're not believing something is what doubt is. In fact, one of the words for doubt means to be in two minds. It's like my mind thinks this way, my mind thinks this way. So I don't know what to think. I'm doubting because I think this, I think this. Sometimes that's one of the Greek words for doubt is to be of two minds. It's just not being sure. Can you doubt and believe at the same time? Now, that's a real hard one. I think on the exact something, you may not can, but you can be believing and doubting at the same time. We saw with that guy in Luke where he said, I believe, help my unbelief. Because sometimes things are happening in our lives and we say, I believe it, but help me to believe it. I believe it, but, you know, and so I think sometimes it happens. What brings about, I think the second question is, what brings about doubt? And we talked about it last time. It could be an event or a circumstance in our lives. John, it seems to be in John's life that event brought about the fact that he doubted. But have you ever heard somebody say, you know, we went through this bad thing happened to us, and if God is really God, he wouldn't have let that happen. So I just don't know if that's really true or not. Sometimes people go through a hard time, or they go through some event, or they go through some circumstances, and it causes them to doubt. Or, as we talked about last week, sometimes people raise questions they never thought of, and it causes them to doubt. And I just brought up the example of sometimes a person could come to, let's say you're going along and you say, I've always believed that salvation is by faith. And somebody says, yeah, but that's wrong. Salvation is really by works. No, it's not. Over here, James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. Show me, you know, this. The man is justified not by faith only, but by works. So, and you could go, oh my, well, I'm kind of messed up now, because I was always thinking it was this. So sometimes people raise questions you've never thought about, or you've never seen it, or you've never put it together, and people begin to doubt. The third thing we talked about last week is sometimes you've just not been taught. There are people who believe in Jesus Christ and have eternal life. They've never understood the whole aspect of eternal life, and that it's not some commodity somewhere, but they've never understood that it's an eternal relationship. And so, or even truths of the Bible, they've just never understood them, never been taught, and so they doubt certain things because that happens. You wouldn't believe this, but a lot of times, a lot of times I'll say something like, I've said this to people before. When a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior, will they go to heaven no matter what? And there are a lot of people who go, well, I don't know. You say they trust in Jesus, but no matter, well, somewhere down the line they could, see, and they're confused. Because the answer is, if a person trusts in Jesus Christ as Savior, will they go to heaven no matter what? Yeah. Answer is yes. But a lot of people, when you say it that way, they go, I don't know. So let's think about it. What brings about doubt? It could be a circumstance. It could be some question somebody's raised. It could be some theology or something they never taught. And a lot of times when we begin to doubt, we get our focus off God and His Word and the truths, and we begin to put it on ourselves. We begin to put it on our circumstances. I always think of Peter walking on the water, and you remember Jesus walking by, and Peter said, if it's really you, tell me to come out. And he said, come out. And, you know, he believed right then, and he was walking out there, but then he got his eyes off Christ, and he put it on the circumstances, and I think he started doubting, what am I doing? What do I think I'm doing out here? And he began to sink. And I think sometimes when we get our focus off of our Savior, off of the truths of the Word of God, and we put it on our circumstances or ourselves, we could have doubts there. I want to think about, I think what I call three areas of doubt I want to talk about this morning. I want your input. We just want to talk about it back and forth. Think about this. I think sometimes people doubt, number one here, is they say, I hope that I've really believed. Do you realize this, that the Bible talks about way over 150 times in the New Testament that you say by faith? So we tell people over and over that you believe in Jesus Christ. But there are people out there saying things like, did you really believe? Were you sincere when you believed? Was it maybe a temporary faith? Was it not really faith? You just thought it was faith? And so there's sometimes people doubt, and they say things like, I just don't know if I really believed. I hope I really believed. And they say things like that. So I think that's one area. There's a second thing that people doubt, and that's the whole idea of, will I really go to heaven? In other words, Jesus said, I have salvation. Jesus said, I have eternal life. But am I really going to get to go? And I told you the story of the lady in the hospital. I think I told it last week or either the week before last. But that little lady, I went in there and I talked to her. And she said, yes, I've trusted in Christ. And I said, he's given you eternal life. Yes. I said, so you know you're going to heaven. I hope I am. I don't know. Because in reality, what they're really doubting is God's what? God's promise. What did he promise every one of us in this room? Eternal life, okay? And then there's a third thing that is this all real? Is it really God? Is this true? Sometimes people say, is the Bible true? Is God true? Is there really a God? How does all this work? And so sometimes I think those are big areas of doubt. I think some doubt whether I've actually really believed. Some doubt I've believed, but is God going to really do what he said he's going to do? And then some people just wonder if any of this is true. Or, you know, they say, I believe the Bible, but I believe it, but is it really true? Is it? Okay. Now, before I go any further, questions, comments, anything, any input? Do you want to throw something else out? Anything? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And alluding to something that you casually mentioned here this morning, but he believes that if a person firmly says, you know, that he was a believer at one time, but he says, I don't want you anymore in my life, get out of my life, I'm through with you, I'm going the other direction, and he says he believes that then it's gone, mm-hmm. that it is negotiable, mm-hmm. and he firmly believes that, and it was like talking to a wall.
Right.
I tried to explain it.
Did y'all hear what he said? Everybody hear it? He said he has a Christian brother who believes that if you trust Christ as Savior, but then later on you believe, but you come to a point where you say, I don't want God anymore. I don't want him in my life. You say to God, I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. I'm through. That you don't have salvation anymore. Well, you know, here's one of the analogies that God uses in the scripture is that we are born again. He uses the picture of eternal life and salvation as being born in the family of God. And he talks about you must be born again. And the truth is, when we believe in Christ, we're born and we become what? A child of God. Now, and he uses this analogy because sometimes we have kids, right? And they're born into our family. And they may be angry and fighting mad and they get 18 and they say, I'm doing my own life and I don't want to have anything to do with you. I'm through with my mama and daddy. Are they still part of that family? Nothing changes. I mean, they can go anywhere they want to go and say whatever they want to say and say, I disown my mother and father. I don't even know their names anymore. They're still their mother and father. They're still in that family. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, I don't care whether you say, I don't want to know him. I don't care anything. I don't care about the Bible. You're still born in that family of God. And whether you want to go to heaven or not, you are going. And when you get there, you will be glad that you were wrong when you were on this earth. Let me tell you. So he just doesn't understand the truth. He doesn't. It breaks your heart. Yes, Hazel.
Well, Jonah kind of did that, didn't he? Or was he just running from God?
Well, Jonah didn't want to do anything, and he just thought he better get out of town. He did not want to go to a sworn enemy of Israel because he figures that one day, if they're still there and God doesn't destroy them, that they'll come after Israel. And guess what?
He wasn't saying he didn't believe God. He just didn't want to do what God
Oh, he didn't want to obey God. Right, right. Yeah, so God caught up with him pretty good, though. It's pretty hard to run away from God, isn't it? And wherever you are, he is, you know. Well, here's a couple of things. How do we deal with doubt? Two things I put down. Seek the answers. You got to go to the truth. And number two, you got to believe the truth. I mean, that's where it boils down to. The first one is like seek the answer. I mean, you gotta go to the truth. And then John said, I gotta find out. So I'm going where? I'm going to Jesus. I can't get out, but I'm sending people to Jesus. And I'm gonna say to him, tell me the truth. You got to go to that. For us, when people doubt, you say, go back to the scripture. You gotta go to the truths of God's word. That's the only place you're gonna find it for sure, because that's the only thing that is authoritative. And that's for sure. The second, I think you just have to believe the truth. You have to believe it. I mean, when it comes down to it, we believe things all the time. I have people say, well, unbelievers don't believe. I said, yeah, they believe things all the time. Can an unbeliever believe? That's a big question. Can an unbeliever believe in Jesus Christ? Because there are people who teach they cannot. I think they can easily. You remember the parable of the sower? And the guy went out to sow the seeds and he threw it and some landed on the hard ground and the bird came along and got it. And when Jesus told the parable, he said, that's the truth of the scripture and the truth of the gospel. And the devil comes and takes it away. So these people will not what? Believe. He wouldn't have to take it away if they can't believe. Unbelievers can believe. So we go to the truth and we believe. Let's start with the one that we had a while ago. Okay. I hope I'm a Christian. I hope I've really what? Believed. I get stuff in the mail all the time, and it always presenting the gospel. Here's this new gospel presentation. They're all the same. They're all the same as admit you're a sinner, turn away from your sin, call upon God, ask Him to take your life, agree to serve Him, and you'll be saved. No wonder people are so confused. They don't know what to do. I've heard people say, now, you can believe, but we don't know if you really believed. How many kinds of belief are there? You believe, don't you? You believe that's a chair? Do you know if you really believe that's a chair? Oh, I don't know if I really believe it's a chair. I think it's a chair, but I don't know if I've actually believed that. I told y'all about the girl. And this is, you know, I've told you, so just bear with me because I'm not stupid. I know I told you this before. Okay, so I told you the girl that came to my office, and she was so confused because people had told her that you can't know if you believe or not. And so she said she'd believed in Jesus, but people told her they didn't know if it was real faith, it was a true faith, it was a sincere faith that she had actually believed in Jesus. So she didn't know if she was going to heaven. She was so confused. She got more and more confused. And toward the end, she didn't know anything. And so I tried to help her, but I couldn't get her. And so I finally said, see my name tag? It was my name tag on my desk in that day. I said, do you believe that's a name tag? And she said, I just don't know if I believe it. And that's the way. See, sometimes people get so confused. Yes.
Religions that are out there now, where if a person isn't speaking in tongues, is baptism of the Holy Spirit, the second baptism type of thing, they're doubting if they have that really deep relationship with the Lord because
they didn't speak in tongues or something.
Yeah, because they don't speak in tongues or do other things.
That would tie into, there are some people who say that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. So if you haven't had that experience, it proves you're not saved. There are other people who say, if you want to move to a newer level of spirituality, you have to speak in tongues. And so there are people who are saying, I guess I must not going to be moving to that level. But what I'm talking about here is this idea that people want to question whether you actually believe something or not. I want you to understand this. In the issue of salvation, it is not the amount of faith that you have. It is not the sincerity of faith that you have. It is the object of faith that you have. If you said to me, JB, what about all your faith? I said, I'm getting all my faith. I've got it all right here. This is the most faith I could ever come up with. And I am sincerely, really believing in Buddha for salvation. Now, I'm really believing it. And I got all my emotion into it. And I am sincerely believing that He will save me. Am I saved or not? No. Why? Wrong object. It's not the Savior. Now, I can believe in Jesus Christ, and the Bible says if your faith is small as a grain of what? Mustard seed, you can do what? Can move a mountain. He's saying it's not the amount of faith that's the key. It's the object of faith which is the key. And the object of your faith for your salvation is who? Jesus. It's not whether you really believe. It's not whether you're sincere. It's not if all the faith you can muster up. It is the object of your faith that you are believing for eternal life. That is salvation. And when somebody says things like, there's a head faith and a what? Heart faith. That's the stupidest thing I have ever heard. I just want you to understand that. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. Where is your heart, scripturally speaking? As a man thinks in his heart. Your heart in the Bible is your head. It's where you believe. It's where you think. Sometimes the heart deals with emotions sometimes because sometimes it's used for the whole person. If the Bible wants to be very specific and talk about emotions, it uses the word kidneys. So your kidneys are where your emotions are. Your heart is where you think. So when the Bible talks about believing something, and even when it says if you believe in your heart, it's not an emotion, it's believing the truth. So it's not amount of faith, it's not quality of faith, it's object of the faith. And so it's not a question of whether you really believe something. Oh, I believe it, but I didn't really believe it. I believed it, but I didn't really believe it. That's ridiculous. That's not biblical. It doesn't fit. Yes.
I think another thing that throws people off is that most, if not all, of the scriptures where we're talking about belief and salvation, it's in present tense. where, you know, if we believe, well, does not if we did believe at one time, but if we believe, present tense, and it's one of those, well, I used to believe, I'm not sure if I believe now, so, well, maybe I've lost my salvation.
I think you made a great point. Sometimes people think that salvation is an ongoing belief. You have to keep on believing in order to be saved. Who then must be faithful in order for salvation to occur? You do. We're not faithful. Salvation based on Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus, remember John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes my word, believes him who sent me, has eternal life, has passed from death to life, and will not come into judgment. It says there, you believe, present tense, you have eternal life. You have passed, past tense, you've passed from death to life. Future, you will never come into condemnation. That's the verse that says when you believe, you got it forever. John 10, where we are now. I give them what? Eternal life, and they shall what? Never perish. When a person says, yeah, but I have to keep believing. I say, no, the moment you believe, what does he give you? He didn't say, I'll give you eternal life if you will keep on believing. He said, I give you eternal life the moment you believe. That's why in Ephesians says, for by grace you have been saved. It's the perfect tense in Greek, which is a past action and a continuing result. By grace you have been saved. You've been saved in the past, and it continues on through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So, another point? Okay.
Well, I was going to say another thing that I think misleads people is a prime example as we were driving in today, we're listening to a very well-known, respected speaker that talked about salvation by grace, free gift, and your sins will be judged. And I'm going, we're talking two different things. My sins have been paid for. Sin is not the issue.
What do you think he meant? But he meant that you're saved by faith, and I don't even.
I don't know. It was. That's the confusing point of it. Is he was turning it into almost a, it was a sin issue
rather than a faith issue.
Than a faith issue.
One thing we talked about all through this is the doubting thing and the salvation thing. Is so many people are confused on what the whole issue is. The issue is Jesus has already died on the cross, paid for sin, and rose again. Sin is taken care of. He's the satisfactory payment, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. The basis of salvation is faith in Christ for eternal life. That's the basis. So the offer to people is eternal life to anyone who would believe. And the most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe will not perish, but have eternal life. It's that simple. Yes? Okay. That's a good point. People say the same thing. They'll say, here you are, you're saved, but if you do sin and you don't confess it or repent of it, as some people say, or turn from it or quit doing it, and then you die, you lose your salvation. Once again, they still have not understood that salvation is a gift. It's not your faithfulness. It's not your sin. And when you believe, you have eternal life, not life until you sin again. And they're just misunderstanding the eternality and the promise of God. And, you know, how many people sin, right? How many of us sin every day? What happens if you were to sin and not confess your sin? What happens? You're out of fellowship, and that means you're not going to be able to serve God. And that means, as your Heavenly Father, what's he probably going to do? If you don't deal with it, he's going to what? Discipline you. Does he say anywhere that if you sin, you're no longer my child? No. No. People say, well, what do you say about a Christian, a guy who says he's a Christian and he's living in sin? I say, he's a disobedient Christian. Because, see, a lot of people want to say, if a guy says he's a Christian, he's living in sin, that just proves he's what? Not a Christian. I say, nope. Lifestyle has no basis. You can't tell by lifestyle whether a person's a Christian or not. The second one. This one is, I hope I believed. I hope I really believed. Bottom line is, It's the faith as small as a grain of mustard seed. The issue is not whether you really believed or not. It's the object of your faith, which is Christ. Have the bell rung at all? Any one of the bells? Yes or no? No. We're just going to keep going until that thing rings. You know that. Because time is up now. But anyway, let me do say this. People will come to you with the verse in James chapter 2 that says, even the demons believe and what? Tremble. And they want to say there's two kinds of belief. Because a demon believes, and that's just like somebody believing with their mind. But you have to believe the true way, which is with your heart, and you're saved. And so demons don't believe the right way. Belief is all the same. It's always the object of your faith. If you notice in that passage, it says, even the demons believe and tremble. What did they believe about Jesus? They believe he is their judge, not their Savior. They cannot believe in Jesus as Savior because Jesus didn't die for angels. He died for people. So when the passage says, even the demons believe, it's the same kind of faith, except they can't believe in Jesus as Savior because he's not their Savior. They believe in him as their judge. That's why they tremble. So when people throw that out to you, just tell them, wait a minute. No. Yeah. Question. Point.
Don't you think that people can believe the details of the gospel and still not trust him for their salvation just because they don't want him?
Oh, okay. The question is, could people understand or even believe that Jesus died on the cross and paid for sin and rose again and not trust him for salvation? Absolutely. I think there are people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, that he paid for sin, he paid for the sins of the whole world and rose again, and they're not Christians because they've not trusted in Christ for eternal life. It's not believing what he did, it's trusting in him as Savior. Now, the reason he can save you is because what he did. I've told the story about this guy that worked on the assembly line with another guy. The guy was going to Bible college. The big guy working on the assembly line says, I believe in Jesus Christ. And the friend, my Christian friend said, really? He said, you didn't know that, did you? You thought I was just a big old tough mean guy. Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, no, I've always believed in Jesus. So my friend said, so if you were to die, would you go to heaven? He said, I sure would. And my friend said, why? And he said, because I've tried to live a good life. Now, let me tell you something. He believes in Jesus, but he's not trusted Jesus for salvation. He's trusted in living a good life for salvation. So just to say, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that Jesus died and rose again, there are a lot of people who will say, you must trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. No, you trust in Jesus Christ who did that. You don't trust in his work, you trust in Jesus. He's the Savior. Does that make sense? I know it's technical, and people come to me and say, you're too technical. No, we're not too technical. You got to be right. You got to see what it says, and you got to go by what it says. Do you think we ought to stop because the bell should have rung a long time ago? Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Well, we're sort of through. We'll just touch on this next week, and then we'll get to lesson 6. Okay. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Thank you for our opportunity to talk through these issues, Lord. Every one of us in this room, we have believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. We know we have eternal life, and Lord, I hope and pray nobody doubts that. I hope everybody understands it. I hope everybody's trusting Christ, Lord. But we come into contact with people all the time that don't understand all these things. Would you use us in a loving, gracious way to clearly present the great truths of salvation, and that people don't have to doubt that they can trust in Jesus for eternal life and be saved and saved forever, and they can know that. And Lord, then we serve out of love, not out of fear. Use us, Lord, for that. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.